And welcome to a Monday morning. I apologize. You don't want to hear the beginning of that, but this is the best I've
felt. It's Monday.
This is the best I've felt in a at least 7-8 days. Last week was not happy about coming here, not feeling good, and felt like didn't deliver on the highest level.
I thought you delivered fine listening through the Odyssey app.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, you know how you know when you didn't have a good day punting, right?
Yes.
You know, and maybe the numbers were okay because maybe the ball rolled an extra 15 yards.
Very familiar with that.
Well, maybe it was the content of the championship week. But I can do better. I feel great. Had a wonderful weekend. Most excited to be with Drew Butler, who I haven't been with in a couple of weeks.
It's been a while.
You did back-to-back with Zinno, which I got very good reviews on. How did...
We had fun.
Yeah.
We had fun.
Did he have fun? You always
I think
have
he
fun
did.
With him.
I think he did, and, you know, I had to keep him on his toes a little bit, but we stayed away from a lot of the negativity. I think he was in a good mood because the tournament was right around the corner as well.
You know how to handle him. You know how to just, you know, you got to just not let him get
just
into
steer the ship. Yeah.
You can't let him spiral.
Right. Got to keep him on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, you guys did a great job. That was a Friday and Monday. I was gone, and then I came back and just felt like banged up, just a busy week, and had a great weekend. How was your weekend?
Man, it was great. My Kara, she turned 5, so we had a birthday party. Her birthday was actually on Saturday, so a lot of celebrations. We had an awesome party. And
on a scale of 1 to 10 for a 5-year-old, 10 being you're on the Real Housewives of Atlanta and your 5-year-old, you throw this massive event that, you know what I mean? Like, it's something you just go like, how are they doing that for a 5-year-old? You're doing, you know, and one being like, we had a candle, but we don't lean in
right,
too hard.
Right.
Like,
I would say we went like, I mean, 5 was a pretty big one. We had a great party at Adventure Air in Alpharetta. I'd say an 8.
An 8.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think 25 kids showed up.
Okay, yeah. So big. But I mean,
parents enjoyed it.
But nothing that is unreasonable for a 5-year-old.
Correct.
That's a great birthday.
We did it right.
Yeah.
So shout out to Jackie. She did an awesome job. I know Kara had a blast. All her friends came, and it was a really, really fun weekend.
How many dads were there?
The Saturday afternoon birthday party, you're usually getting a
85.
Mom or a dad.
Yeah.
Because the older siblings are off at a sporting event or whatever it is.
85% mom?
Yeah, but, you know, we had a fair amount of dads there as well.
Okay.
It's a good time.
She got everything she wanted.
Yeah, she got everything she wanted. She had a blast. So it was a magical birthday-filled weekend.
Okay. Well, Kimberly was out of town 4 days. So it was dance and soccer and NCAA.
And Clay's sports wings. I saw that.
Oh, Clay's went big, yeah. Me and Bobby after his soccer game.
Amen to that.
I was like, we got to film content. That does not make him happy when I'm like, we got to do content. And he's like, I don't know why you take this stuff so seriously. I was like, listen, you know those futsal shoes you just got, those brand new ones?
Correct.
Right? How do you think we pay for that? Me eating chicken wings.
Yes.
That's
yes.
How we do it. So I was at Clay's, yes. Just stuffing my face, it looked like.
So me and my buddies, we love chicken wings as well. And like, there's one place that we have not been to, and quite simply, we have to go.
Yeah.
Magic City.
Okay.
I have not had the Magic City wings yet.
That has
like to, I like I need to go have
it?
Them. Yeah. And I said, like, we just need to text the wives and like decide on a Tuesday afternoon and be like, we're going to Magic City to eat chicken wings.
Yeah. And by the way, it's the only city that's legit. It's like the old days when you say I read Playboy for the articles, which actually was kind of true.
Right.
I go to Magic City for the wings. And
yeah.
It's like it's a very similar analogy. Do they live up to the hype?
Oh, without a doubt. And ironically, I don't know if you guys saw this in the AJC, they're going to do a documentary on Magic City.
They're doing a 3 or 4 part documentary on the history of Magic City and the culture, the cultural influence that club has had.
Right.
In the
sports, entertainment, in music,
the culture.
Everything.
Yeah, in the culture, right?
Yeah, 100%, especially music culture, because a lot of artists today in the hip-hop world, they have taken their music there to see how it was reacted and responded to.
Right.
And then that would kind of spawn whether or not those artists would push those records forward.
How many references to Magic?
Oh, my goodness, countless,
So did you see me at Clay's on Saturday?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's a strong wing place.
Yeah, fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Great people over there as well. So yeah, it was a great low key weekend. I'll just say this before we get to our 9 at 9, and then we'll play the sound you have to hear. My buddy Andrew Saltzman, who kind of runs the arena among other things, he's one of the big muckety mucks over at the Hawks and State Farm and everything else. I just talked to him. I said, "Bro, you're in for it this week because you are going to be inundated." Like a
with Hawks. Requests.
Oh my God, dude! Auburn, my absolute win, right? Like I think
huge. Two hours away.
I forget who said it on Auburn. He said it's a home game.
I think Charles Barkley said it.
Well, he said it post, but one of the players on the court was like, "We're going home. Atlanta's a home game for us, right?" The Michigan alum, you know better than anybody.
Yeah.
How many Michigan alum that they find their way through to get there? Michigan State.
Tom Izzo.
Shout out
to
my
rivalry.
My buddy Dave George, one of the great guys, huge on the Michigan State alumni sports. There's a ton of Spartan cash floods through Atlanta. Huge Michigan State
and
fan
Ole
base.
Miss.
And then you throw in the SEC team on
the
back end.
I know.
You throw
plenty of Ole Miss alum here in Atlanta as well. Tons.
Oh, my God. You think like Ole Miss is thinking we're going to be in a Sweet 16 game? Which is, by the way, way more winnable than if they had ended up against the Gators, and not that they'd be intimidated, the Gators, against Auburn, right?
Right.
I mean, like, Michigan State or Ole Miss are going to be playing on Sunday. So, and the Michigan alum, they have to be thrilled where they ended up.
So when is first tip-off Friday?
Like I heard it's 6:40.
Wow, so then it's in the late game. 6:40, yeah. Then 9:30, I'm assuming.
Yeah, obviously the late game is going to be Michigan and Auburn.
Yeah.
But that is going to be – I'm already getting requests.
Even Portnoy at Barstool, he's like, "I'll be in Atlanta."
He did.
Michigan guy. He's like, "I'll see you there."
Yeah.
So it's going to be a live atmosphere down there.
And again, for a Michigan alum, the access to Atlanta because of the direct flights.
Oh.
There's not a city in America, if you're a Michigan alum, and you just like...
There's a flight every hour going to Detroit.
Right.
It's an hour and a half flight.
Yeah. So think about all the Michigan alum. They're going to float in here wearing their yellow. They're used to Atlanta, obviously. They've been here for a lot of big events. So it's going to be spectacular on Friday and Sunday. Like, you know, however you gauge what you know, I don't know. The revenue may have been, I mean, I guess you would have sold it out anyway, but it's
the impact on the local economy will be tremendous.
That's a great point. Like, Michigan will come here and spend like crazy.
Absolutely.
That'll be huge, and Michigan State will do the same. So we got a great regional. The SEC gets, what, seven?
Seven, conference record for any conference in the Sweet 16.
Seven out of 16. It's exactly what I said last week. I don't know a lot about a lot. I said, don't worry about the bottom feeders. I'm sorry. And that's not a nice way to describe the Georgias and Texas and Vanderbilts, right? But I said, don't judge. The big boys up top, I have the big four and then Kentucky. So the big four is Alabama, Auburn, Florida, and Tennessee. I said, the big four in Kentucky won't lose. They go right through.
Yep.
Then you throw in Ole Miss and South Carolina.
Arkansas.
Arkansas, sorry. The biggest win, obviously, Arkansas taking out St. John's. So they get seven, right? Seven in the Sweet 16.
An extended forecast for Friday, 79, partly cloudy, no chance of rain, and then Sunday, 76.
You are so right, dude. They will roll in, you know, maybe Friday morning, but if they're here Thursday night, dude, that's four, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's four nights in this economy that is going to be popping.
Chops is going to be packed.
Popping. I mean,
Pals will be packed.
I mean, dude, all downtown.
All those spots downtown.
They'll
no
be
question.
Walking around.
No question.
Really, really cool. All right, let's get the rest of 9 at 9. We gave you the college basketball a little bit. We'll do more on that coming up. Josh Pastner will join us. Great guest to get. He'll be with us at 10 a.m. But let's turn to baseball, where the Braves have traded Ian Anderson of the Angels for Jose Suarez. Ian Anderson, a huge part of Braves playoff history, right?
Yeah, running into some trouble as of late. Could not really get as many consistent strikes as he wanted to. So as you mentioned, they trade him away to the Angels for left-hander Jose Suarez. In addition, the Braves signed Jesse Chavez to a minor league deal over the weekend. The Braves beat the Rays 7-3 on Friday. Chris Sale allowed three hits and zero runs and struck out five through four innings. They tied on Saturday with the Detroit Tigers 0-0. And again on Sunday, they tied, this time with the Baltimore Orioles 5-5. Spencer Strider was on the mound. He allowed two hits, three runs, struck out four in just over one inning pitched.
Yeah, I want you to remember that Ian Anderson, a couple of things. Not only was he the number three overall pick in 2016, but as a postseason pitcher, in eight career playoff games, he was 4-0 with a 1.26 ERA. He struck out 40 batters in 35 innings. He had a memorable shutdown start in Game 3 of the World Series, I think it was. So he just couldn't get it back together, and we can't throw strikes. But let's just say when he's back here for the Braves alumni weekends, a lot of folks will be real happy
for sure,
to see him.
No question. Atlanta Hawks, don't look now, but they're picking up the pace. Saturday night, they defeated the Golden State Warriors at home, 124-115. And then last night, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, 132-119. Next up, Tuesday night at Houston, 8 p.m. tip-off.
Yeah, nothing but entertaining at State Farm Arena. Now, Steph Curry doesn't play, but that was a packed house. Trae Young looked great, 25-10. Zachary Risachet continues to get a ton of press nationally as a rookie that clearly the Hawks did not miss on. I mean, if there is a headline, it'll be, yes, it was not Cooper Flagg or, you know, Wembanyama, but in terms of making sure you don't blow the first pick,
right?
Folks know this kid can absolutely play. And good for the Hawks. A lot of entertaining games at State Farm Arena over this stretch. NFL, nothing special.
Waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers does. He met in Pittsburgh at the facility with the Steelers. He left without a deal. And then Jameis Winston tweets out, starts spreading the news. He will be a New York Giant, signed a two-year deal for $8 million.
Is the Steeler deal going to happen, yay or nay?
You know, my high school teammate Cam Hayward, he did not mince words when he said, look, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you don't want to be here, we don't need you
here. I get it.
But they need a quarterback.
I think it's happening.
Okay.
Hey, when we come back, Atlanta's actually playing for a title tonight. Drew will tell us more about that. All kinds of other stuff happening from over the weekend we'll get to. Steak and Drew Butler, it's the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler, thanks so much for being with us on the Odyssey app, which is just exploding over the weekend. I hate to think about who's competing against that. Atlanta United, two Atlanta Hawks games, all the NCAA March Madness, every single show, like the thing's on fire. So make sure you have the Odyssey app and make sure you know with Atlanta United, their season in full swing. Join Jason Longshore every Tuesday for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. He's got you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tabs on international soccer as well. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by a local Ford dealer. Tuesday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and available the next day at Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. Well, ESPN has never been shy about their partnership with TGL and adding programming through this league that is owned by some very powerful people, or the teams are at least. Everybody from Arthur Blank, Bob Kraft, Derek Jeter, Matt Ryan, I think Chipper Jones to some degree. They leaned in hard. And,
yeah.
And I think they have gotten better and better, the TGL product and the coverage, from the first night, which was, I don't know, a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and even today, SportsCenter live from the TGL Finals, today and tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, and then late night after the action, Matt Barry and Scott Van Pelt, so they're bringing in the big dogs. But Atlanta Drive is taking on the New York Golf Club. Match one is tonight, and then matches two and three will be tomorrow. It is a best-of-three series. And obviously, there's not much else going on in the world of sports. I mean, you got some NBA games tonight, some NHL, if you follow that. Spring training. You got to wait until Thursday for the NCAA tournament to kick back up. So they picked the perfect time to do it. You got 2 weeks to the Masters. And you mentioned Matt Ryan. He's a limited partner in the Atlanta Drive Golf Club. Shout out to Matt Ryan. He won a big tournament over the weekend, the Pro Rivals Open out in Frisco, Texas. It was a tournament that was put together to get a bunch of former and current NFL players specifically. I did get an invite to play. Couldn't do it. Kara's birthday. So wouldn't
tell me
try
what
that.
This is again.
It was a 3-day event. Probably 50, 60 guys, current and former NFL players, some big names involved, John Elway, Dwight Freeney, Patrick Peterson is another Atlanta guy, and Matt Ryan eked out the victory over Mike Leach, who was my long snapper in Arizona. So they battled it out. It was a Stableford format, and Matt Ryan, I think he shot even par yesterday,
and
he won.
I've asked you about playing with Matt Ryan. And those of you who know Drew Butler know that he's a phenomenal scratch golfer. And I was like, how does your game compare to Matt Ryan? And I think you said modestly that Matt Ryan's another level.
He's really good. I mean, you know.
When I say another level.
He smoked me last year. We played in Boston. And I mean,
have you ever beaten him?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I shouldn't even say.
I mean, he's a very good golfer. Very good golfer.
What's his handicap?
Got to be plus one or two, probably.
What are you?
I can look it up right now. I'm a plus 0.4 right now.
Damn. So you could have gone to this thing and had a chance to win?
Yeah, which would have been really cool, but it was a big commitment. Damn. Like, Thursday was a pro-am, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, my daughter's fifth birthday, Saturday. Okay, chance. Okay. I wasn't even bringing that up.
What if your daughter doesn't have a birthday? What is Jackie's? That's four full days.
Dude, the purse was $400,000. I mean, it was a real tournament. I don't know how much Matt won. I don't think it really matters to
him. Have you ever stood over a putt that was worth $50,000?
No, not $50,000. I mean, that would have been awesome.
Have you ever been in a tournament like that with the stakes at that level?
Yeah, definitely. Just some member guests and stuff where the Calcuttas are out there and you're going
to
make a couple of
grand.
Have
you been invited to Tahoe ever, any of that?
No, I mean, I'm not even in the purview of that. No chance.
Your golf's as good as those guys.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Not even close. I mean, that is the A-list of A-list when it comes to who gets invited to go play in Tahoe. I'm trying to look up Matt Ryan's handicap right now.
Okay. But you guys, I didn't realize, are at the same level. So you conceivably could go win a tournament like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Matt's a plus 0.6. I'm a plus 0.4. So we're right there.
Damn. That's unbelievable.
There you go. He's a stud, man.
Well, yeah.
And he grinds. I mean, he works at it. Matt plays a lot of golf. Why wouldn't he? I mean, shout out to him.
When you say he grinds at it, that means you know guys that coach him?
That's correct, he's
out working at his game all the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you're not working at your game the same level?
No. I'm working on my broadcasting career, and I'm working on my family back at home.
You're working on being a journalist.
Journalist!
So what do you think about what they've done with
TGL? I think TGL's cool. Look, it's an entertainment product.
Rob Manfred over there, the commissioner of baseball, is over here like, hello?
Yeah.
Like, seriously? You're done with baseball? ESPN ending their relationship
Correct.
With baseball and then watching SportsCenter, like, you know, Van Pelt, all their top guys, Marty Smith and company, and they're just leaning completely into this.
It is an entertainment product. The thing that really kind of ekes me is that when the golf purists, for whatever reason, don't like it and they compare it to tournament golf, it is not tournament golf. They are indoors. It is a humongous simulator. They're in Jupiter. These guys are just driving over from their houses, and they're having fun. Now, I think it makes it much better viewing when they're a little bit more relaxed, when they're chatting it up, when they're talking trash. Like, that's the whole point.
How can you tell how much they care about winning or
not
winning?
Well, tonight you'll see, because the winning team gets $9 million. It's a ton of money.
Where does that come from? Sponsorship money.
Absolutely.
Right?
SoFi.
Winning team gets
TGL.
$9 million.
Yes. Split among four guys. It's a lot of dough.
That's how many guys are on each team?
Yeah.
Four guys?
Yep.
Did you realize the payoff day was that much? $9 million.
Yeah, it's nice.
over the course of two nights, right?
Yeah, so it'll be cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to tuning into it tonight. Starts at 9 p.m.
Do you know what that 400 on grand? ESPN 2. You know what that 400 grand would have meant to that long snapper?
Oh yeah,
right.
And his Matt son, Ryan, his
and
son,
Matt's the greatest guy yeah. ever. And I totally just saw him the other day, and we were chatting it up a little bit. But, you know, I was like, how much is they hitting you up at BC to actually get some NIL money, as those programs have just gone completely in the other direction? Well, they're going to be hitting them up even more. Like, talk about the rich get richer. He's got the greatest broadcast job ever, right?
Yeah, and he's very good at broadcasting.
Right, and then he plays golf, and he's very good at that. And he just took home $400,000.
I don't know if he got 400 grand, but he probably got up into the six figures because the total purse was 400,000.
I bet you that knowing his wife a little bit, and just in any wife when you have three kids at home, must have been like, pick your two or three tournaments a year, right?
Yeah, because he also plays in Tahoe, I believe.
Right,
Matt
he plays
yes.
in Tahoe. And then he plays in that Boston one with you, correct?
Yeah, that's McDonough's charity event, which is going to be the first weekend of August, I think.
So what do you think about the news of Tiger Woods? And those of you who hadn't heard, Tiger Woods kind of announced an engagement. I don't understand.
Really cryptic caption on the picture.
Day-Day, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it, and Drew actually kind of mentioned this to us last week that they were dating, so that's what kind of started yeah. making me pay more attention
it's
to what
Donald,
was going on.
It's Donald Trump Jr.'s ex-wife.
Correct.
Yes.
And Tiger Woods have been dating on the down low.
For about a year is what was reported a week ago, and this is Don Trump Jr.'s ex-wife, who is the mother of Kai Trump. Kai Trump is a very successful golfer. She's going to the University of Miami to play golf. I just looked it up. She's got over 1 million subscribers on her YouTube channel. Now, Tiger Woods is, reportedly engaged to her mom.
But they didn't say it in that post.
It said, love is in the air. I cannot wait to spend our days together, whatever that means.
So Donald Trump's grandkid is Tiger Woods is their stepdad, right?
Yes, if they get married, yes.
Yeah, well, you said it sounds like that's happening. All right, a couple of things. I didn't mean to do all golf here, but I think there's some interesting stuff. First of all, is there a lot of gambling on the stuff? The
TGL? It's yeah. been kind of – I've tried to follow along. I think they offer just some pretty basic numbers. But, yeah, I don't think the gambling aspect of it has picked up as much as they
Why
might have wanted
Why have we
to.
Heard absolutely zero about the LIV Tour? I mean, like zero. And it's on FS1 now,
Yeah,
too.
They signed a deal to put it on FS1 or FS2 for some of their tournaments, but they're going up against the PGA Tour. A couple of weeks ago, the Players' Championship, which is known as the fifth major. It's the best field in golf. LIV was in Singapore. Those telecasts were on in the middle of the night. I mean, they got absolutely smoked. Absolutely
smoked.
I heard
it's like 150th.
Yeah, it's not even close.
30,000 people watched on FS1. 30,000. I can tell you on a bad Atlanta Eats, we have 45,000.
Yeah, right? I mean.
So me going to a deli in Dahlonega outdrew LIV. I'm just telling you. So,
yeah.
You know. No, but I mean, there's talk now. Like, you're playing not just in obscurity. You're playing golf scrimmage. I mean, you're not even in the game at all if you're on that tour, correct?
That's correct. I mean, the purses are enormous. Those guys got paid a boatload of money to lead the PGA Tour and start up LIV Golf, but now you're starting to hear rumblings of guys like Brooks Koepka. They're hanging around TGL. You know, they're hanging with their PGA buddies. Like, they want back in. They're trying to figure out how they can unify the game, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Is there any more leverage for the PGA now watching the incredible demise of any conversation of LIV? Because the PGA had to go to the table because of the money at some point.
Yeah, they had to go to the table. I think what will be most telling is probably how the major championships play out this year. We got the Masters in 2 weeks. You know, Joaquin Niemann, which is a pretty obscure name if you're not a huge golf fan, he's playing great on LIV. Phil Mickelson came out 2 weeks ago and said this is the best player in the world right now. So I'll be interested to see what LIV golfers show up in Augusta, because if, you know, a PGA star like a Rory or a Scotty wins that tournament, then it's going to be all systems go for the PGA Tour.
Are they going to be asking those LIV guys, is it getting worse?
I'm sure.
They'll
yeah, do you want back in? Are you enjoying right. what's going on? You guys had 30,000 people watching in the middle of the night. They probably left their TVs on right. when they fell asleep.
Right, you're watching. I don't know where you're watching FS1. That's the only reason you even got a number. When we come back, great stuff from Kirby Smart. You're really going to like this in our tailgate. Also, I'll take you through college basketball weekend, where there is a new villain at the top of college basketball, an unbelievable W for John Calipari, and the SEC. How do I know it means more? They have almost half the teams in the Sweet 16. It's Steak and Drew, Sports Radio 92.9. Tonight, the game. Lots more on college basketball weekend. Thanks so much for being with us. Also, some great Kirby stuff. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. I promise you that. That's what's going on today. Fascinating stuff in a million different directions. Josh Pastner, as good as it gets these days, doing ESPN. He's doing the March Madness app, Big Ten Network. There's a great theory. We're going to save it. I want you to save the theory that you heard, was it Clay Travis?
Yeah.
For saving it for Josh.
Yeah, that'd be a good question for him, for sure.
Because we got a lot going on here, obviously. Atlanta wins huge, getting Auburn, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ole Miss to our regional. So fun at State Farm Arena, not in some big dome where I've watched numerous Final Fours. I've been to the Final Four many times as a college basketball kind of sycophant. There's nothing like watching games like this in an arena, completely different. And that's where you're getting with the Sweet 16 this weekend as well. And just in general, with the Braves starting their season on Thursday, the Masters is...
2 weeks away.
2 weeks away.
Spring breaks next week for a lot of schools in the metro as well.
Yeah, so get ready for some craziness headed down to the beaches as well. So a lot going on in Atlanta, and a lot for us to wrap our arms around. The Hawks, by the way, on a pretty good run. They had a great weekend with the Packed House Saturday night and then won again on Sunday. Let's start with the tailgate. Then I got some great stuff from college basketball. I have some thoughts on Patino, Danny Hurley, and John Calipari as well.
All right, I'm going to get to the Kirby Smart Cut in just a second. He sat down with Josh Pates from CBS Sports and 247 in a really good interview that was inside Buttsmear Heritage Hall. But I mentioned this last week. I have not had an opportunity to talk with you about it, Steak. And a piece of news broke over the weekend that, again, makes me just question, will it happen or not? Do you think Georgia's going to actually play their spring game, the G-Day game? Schools are continuing to cancel their spring games. Coaches are coming out talking against it. We don't need it.
I think it'll look a lot different than what we're used to, which is why they told ESPN we're not doing the game.
Exactly. That's the news piece that came out over the weekend. It will not be televised this year.
Well, I think it came out, even before we had heard it. But again, why did Kirby do it? And I think Kirby is rethinking everything. Rethinking everything. I know, and Rusty obviously is the closest to it. He likes to reward the kids after a few weeks of, hard practice.
Right.
He also knows for the fans, the guy in North Georgia that can never find access to a game in Athens, this is their one chance to be in the building.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to take that away from them, but I think he wants to be able to stop practice. I think he wants to be able to run, goal line or do whatever.
Right.
He
just does do not a true want a scrimmage. Format. Yes.
He doesn't want a true format the way the red and black game used to be.
Correct. And to your point, the scrimmages during spring practice are scripted. They're getting into specific situations. They're able to run guys out, get matchups they want to further evaluate the players.
Kirby will be on the mic, or somebody will be, and they'll make it entertaining. They'll explain what's going on. But if you think you're going to see the traditional red-black over a three-hour period uninterrupted, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, and you've heard Josh Brooks, the athletic director, come out and say, hey, we're taking things one day at a time, 1 week at a time. Kirby Smart said, I'm not a prognosticator looking into the future, so we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I agree with you. I think it'll look different, but Georgia probably will still have their spring game here in a couple of weeks. And also, when you're talking about some of these other teams that are canceling them, you got to think about the transfer portal. I mean, these kids are going out there putting on tape. Anybody can get into the building.
Yeah, the vultures.
Coaches can come in and be like, hey,
the vultures.
Come on over here. We got some money for you.
I know you're not happy. I saw I was with the parents. They weren't happy with how much time he got in the spring, or so-and-so's behind the eight ball. You realize they're not even utilizing this kid at all. So a lot going on there for sure.
Absolutely. So Josh Pate from CBS Sports and 247 Sports sat down with Kirby Smart last week. They had a great interview inside the football facility. And Kirby Smart, looking back on 2024, I thought he had some really interesting things to say as to how proud he was of what they were able to accomplish a year ago.
I know football, and I know the level of schedule we had to play, and I know the roster we did it with, and I know the injuries we had. By far and away, the best job that our staff and our organization has done easily to go through the gauntlet we went through. Number one, to get into the SEC championship was an accomplishment with that schedule, because they don't make the SEC schedule like they do the NCAA basketball pool, where they say the quality of wins you have. They don't do that. They just do it sheerly off who are the top two teams in the conference. Well, we were able to do that. Then we were able to win that game, okay, which was in and of itself an accomplishment. And then we went on and played a really good Notre Dame team and didn't play our best game in that opportunity and had some faulty special teams plays, and they beat us. But all in all, I was very pleased with what we got out of our team, and it was below the standard statistically in a lot of areas, but a lot of that had to do with the schedule we played.
Okay, so think about that, because looking back, and if you were to ask many dog fans, Steak, last year almost seems like a throwaway. You did not reach the standards that you want to reach, and you are the SEC champions.
You have to see how poorly they ran the ball. You have to see leading the nation in drops. You have to see their offensive inefficiencies, which I don't blame on Mike Bobo.
Leading the nation in drops, and it wasn't close.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Bobo had so much to deal with. Their offensive line was nowhere near what they anticipated. The injuries were hellacious. To beat Texas twice, to win the SEC, to have the level of wins that you had, some of those quality wins, it was spectacular coaching job, and you knew they were going to run out of gas. They were not a national championship team. Not shocked about Notre Dame.
Notre Dame scored 17 points in 54 seconds.
And it was Gunnar Stockton's first start of his career. So, listen, nobody does it better than that Georgia coaching staff in Athens, and I think that's all Kirby's trying to let you know.
I totally agree, and I think it was cool to kind of see him candid in that moment, take a look back.
And I love how he just says,
really proud of what we were able to accomplish.
Without ego. I know football. Like, I don't know everything, but I know football, and I know the injuries, and I know the schedule, and I know the limitations, and that we came out with a sweep of Texas, the Longhorns, winning in Austin and then winning at home, the way we beat Tennessee, the way we handled some of our other big games. Was Clemson last year as well, first game of the year?
Yes. Yeah.
So beating Georgia Tech under those conditions.
Eight overtime game Friday night after Thanksgiving, that was incredible. So,
did you hear the stat about Andrew Smart, who we know a little bit, Kirby's kid, just got a perfect score?
I don't think it was Andrew. I think it was the other Smart boy. But yes, he got a perfect score in the ACT,
okay,
correct?
They're the twins.
Yes.
And then there's the oldest kid.
Yes.
Got a I just know this because of my daughter. I got two pretty, smart, capable kids. On top of everything else, Kirby's kid, that was pretty remarkable, dude.
Weston Smart scored perfect 36 on the ACT.
Dude, that is like, that's MIT Vanderbilt. That's like next level Harvard, Princeton. You don't get 36s on your ACT. That's a perfect score, right?
Yeah, that's highly impressive.
They're doing something right. I don't know, Day-Day. As a parent also, on top of everything else, that you're teaching that kind of discipline and your kid is that bright as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's sick, man. Like,
does that mean you don't get a question wrong? I didn't take the ACT because we used to take the SAT.
If you did, it's one out of like 60, right? 59 out of 60 questions.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's great.
SAT still a thing?
Yeah, it's a lot of kids say the ACT.
Didn't they do an announcement about a year ago where colleges said they were going to it wasn't going to be as important.
Gotcha.
That depends on the school. Depends on the school. Some schools don't require them as much. It's still really friggin' important, dude. You get a perfect score in your ACT.
Yeah, you get to pick and choose where you want to go.
That's incredible. All right, let's do some college basketball. 7 out of 16 SEC teams. Here's how we start the weekend. A piece of sound I thought was pretty cool. Nothing to do with the games. Kelvin Sampson getting ready to play Gonzaga. Did I say it right? I hope I did. Or did I say it the wrong way?
It's Gonzaga.
How did I say it?
Gonzaga.
Damn it.
Didn't you try to get a game with Gonzaga in 2021?
Gonzaga. It always burns me up when people say that. You know, it's like calling me Kevin. My name is not Kevin. My mother used to say, people would see my name and say, hey, Kevin. And she would say, don't let people call you Kevin. Your name is Kelvin. Make sure they pronounce your name right. So that's why my antennas go up with that. Same with Gonzaga. They were our neighbors. It's not Spokane, and it's not Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga, and it's Spokane.
So I had it right.
Yeah, you had it right. He sounds just like Bruce Arians, by the way, too. I'm hearing that. I'm like, golly, that sounds just like Bruce Arians, which is kind of funny.
He is.
Kelvin Sampson.
He is as a tough, hard-nosed it's ever been in the profession. And he is he going to get in the Hall of Fame this year? He's on the ballot. Expect to see Kelvin Sampson. He is a really good Houston team. I don't know if they can get over the hump. Pretty impressive. Danny Hurley's become like a wrestling
heel.
Danny Hurley started the season with his absolute foolishness in Maui, where they lost 3 games, and bitched and moaned his way about how they'll never play that again because of how it laid out. The most heinous call of all time. His kid got called for a loose ball foul, and they ended up losing the game.
Keep in mind, he was dancing with the Los Angeles Lakers job right after they won back-to-back national championships a year ago.
He got a technical foul of a one-point game in overtime with 35 seconds left. In college, that's 2 foul shots on the ball. So he lost the game for his team. Then he's just always jawing with the fans. They have an incredible game against Florida yesterday. Incredible. Best game of the tournament. We'll hear from, Walter Clayton Jr. We'll hear his coach in a second. But here's Danny Hurley. After telling the Baylor kids, I hope you don't get effed like we just got effed as he's leaving the floor. Zero graciousness. I mean, are you auditioning to be on Netflix with they get the WWE, right?
Yes.
Does he calm down in the press conference?
You know, I was in a coach. I don't know necessarily. I was in the hot seat going into 23. You got to ask Dave Benedict. But until these men, you know, until Alex Carabin put on the uniform, and, you know, and Samson, the players change your life when you have such special people.
People are not buying.
Yeah, we got to take a deep breath, Coach. That's up and down and up and down and angry and sad and a lot of emotions going on there.
He did say we won a national title, then almost like an unrealistic 2-year run, 12-0, then the offseason with the Lakers, then we're right back into the season, and it's almost like I need to take a deep breath. I think he finally, probably his wife, you saw the 60 Minutes piece, his wife needs to give him a, like, come back to reality, dude. You're now one of the most hated coaches in America. Here is Todd Golden, no better coach in America either, Florida heads coach, Walter Clayton Jr., as clutch as anything I've ever seen.
Incredible player, great leader, teammates believe in him. Great to have the ball in his hands when you need somebody to step up and make a big shot. His teammates stepped up for him today, helped us get this win, and he stepped up closing this victory out for us.
Get the Rick Pitino cut. I don't think we went over it. The Walter Clayton Jr. will be a legend. I don't know if he's a Tim Tebow legend. If they win a national title, he'll certainly be an Al Horford, Joaquin Noah legend with those shots. Connecticut was ready to win that game.
Right.
Connecticut was ready to win that game. Meanwhile, John Calipari, does it get any sweeter than the win over Rick Pitino?
Pretty unbelievable. Absolute great game. Arkansas was 0-5 in the SEC. Their first conference win was in February against Georgia. Cal was continuing to say, hey, this is the right guys. We're just trusting the process. And now they're right there. He gets to go up against his former nemesis, Rick Pitino. Obviously, they battle back and forth, Kentucky, Louisville, history.
I'm sorry, you win. You've beaten him more times.
Yeah.
You were the number 2 seed, best season. I was having a mediocre by Cal standards or Arkansas. Arkansas goes to Sweet 16 a lot.
Yeah.
And here's Patino trying to explain why the final 450, R.J. Lewis, the Big East Player of the Year, correct? Do you know this? Big East Player of the Year doesn't see the court for 5 minutes when that game ends.
You had RJ on the bench, you know, for a pretty long stretch at the end. Was that just because he just wasn't making them, or was there something more to it?
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No, played 30 minutes, and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
Was there one play with RJ that made you sit him the last 5 minutes?
You know he was 3 for 17. You know he was 0 for 3. So you're answering your own. I'm not going to knock one of my players.
Oh, okay. You just did. I understand. There isn't a way of saying he'll shoot his way out of it. You're the Big East Player of the Year. I don't care what kind of day he's having. Does he not have a chance to make a play to win a game for you? He was 3 of 17. Patino benched him.
Yeah.
For that was it. You got the Maryland play as we go to break?
I do also want to mention this. It just dropped. D1 Baseball has announced their Week 6 rankings. Georgia is third in the country in baseball right now. The SEC has 10 out of the top 15 teams in baseball.
Gets it up top to Queen, dribbling left, big step down the lane, runner for the win, baked it in! He baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16!
Terps beat Colorado State. Finally, we get a buzzer
beater. That was a great call.
Yeah, great call. And by the way, rolling left, switching to your right, kissing it off the glass, tremendous shot. Josh Pastner, when we come back, Sports Radio 92.9.